Hey, it's your old pal, Slim, and this is a special bonus episode of 70mm, a podcast for film lovers. Every Monday, I usually sit down to talk about recently watched movies with dear friend and artist Danny Haas and our spiritual advisor, Protalexis. But in this special episode, we're focusing on the animated feature Batman Mask of the Phantasm, along with a major announcement about the future of this podcast. We need you to sit down for this. Enjoy! Bonus episode today. This is not our normal format. Breaking news. We're going to get right into the movie in just mere moments. That's right. You saw the title, Batman Mask of the Phantasm, the animated motion picture. We took the week off from recording. We recorded this secretly. Even our own VHS Village doesn't know about this episode. And I think as of the release this week, Danny, you're out of the country right now. You can't say where it is, but you might be out of the country.
I can't say where. I don't need...
Do not reveal the coordinates.
I can't off... Yeah, the grid is off. I am out of the country.
On location. On assignment.
Yes. Say no more.
More important than Danny being transatlantic traveling, we have an announcement to make. Maybe the biggest announcement in the history of the show?
I think so.
Doing the face. Sorry, I would tell you what face he's doing, but that would reveal the announcement. On February 21st, episode 106, we will be starting the road to the Batman, ending with us covering the brand new Batman movie on March 14th. Leading up to that.
Talk to us.
How do we make this even bigger than us covering the Batman? How? Mm-hmm. We're going to do the entire Christopher Nolan Batman trilogy in 3 weeks preceding that episode.
Prayer hands.
That's a big deal.
Proto, your thoughts on covering the Nolan movies and the new Batman on the main feed?
My two main thoughts is just knowing that, you know, I'm a warm-blooded man, mm-hmm. and we're going to be watching The Dark Knight again. You know, that's pure success. And then, I mean, the third one, I haven't seen the third one since the theater. So I have no idea what that's going to be like. So this is going to be a fun trilogy journey. To cover.
Fun road. Yeah.
Danny, how are your insides? What are you feeling?
They're
boiling.
They're warm. I'm very excited. I love these movies very dearly. So I've just been waiting for the time for us to do this.
Yeah.
Getting through these Keatons and Kilmers and Clooney's to get to our Christopher Nolan trilogy.
My God.
This is the road. Some would say this is where the road ends. Mm. Like we've made it, right?
Yeah.
We're here.
Some would say that.
So that's February 21st, our 106th episode. It's weeks away. We will be doing Batman Begins to kick things off. I was thinking about this earlier. I remember Batman Begins. I had a DVD burner.
Yeah,
I had like I could make like DVDRs.
Okay. Are you getting arrested for what you're about to say?
I know for a fact the FBI listens every week. I need you to stand down.
Stand down.
I went on a date with a girl and I played the DVDR of Batman Begins on the date. Even worse, I tried to play the DVDR. If you remember trying to burn DVDRs, those things worked 50% of the time. So I maybe got 10 minutes of that movie. It was chunking up and the whole thing was a disaster.
Oh, rest is history.
To say, I don't think we made it to a second date.
It's a dark memory.
I can't believe you did that.
Gosh, Batman Begins. Remember how bad George Clooney was when we covered Batman and Robin for the VHS, for the 70mm vault?
That's rough. It's real rough.
Pro, did you block out all the George Clooney memories from that movie?
You know, that was a tough movie, but it was a fun episode, so it was worth it. The conversation was so much fun talking about, oh my gosh, Uma.
Chill! Kill the Euros! Kill them! The face Proto was making a minute ago was the was a movie we're not covering, but it was Joaquin doing the Joker face with his doing his hook mouth pose. What do you even call
the
that?
Road is it to the Joker? Hook mouth.
Very disturbing. So we thought it would be fun to do this bonus episode while Danny is traveling and make our official announcement for the Road to the Batman with Mask of the Phantasm. We've been doing these Batman episodes for the Vault, and we have so many episodes planned for the Vault, we don't know when we're going to get back to Batman, so why not just make it happen? It's feature prezos. Hey, real quick, this is Slim from the editing booth. This is not Slim talking to Danny and Proto about Batman. After we recorded this episode, Proto realized that I never asked him for a synopsis for Mask of the Phantasm. So we sort of just jump into the movie right away without explaining what the heck the plot is. And so I asked Proto to record something so I could drop in here in like a fun way or even like a regular synop so I could cut it like we never missed a beat. And he was like, okay, okay. And then he ghosted me for a week. You know? Never gave me the file. It wasn't a week, it was a few days. So I'm just going to read the Letterboxd synopsis here so I can add in the music from the movie. Quote, "The Dark Knight fights to save Gotham City from its deadliest enemy. Andrea Beaumont strolls back into town, rekindling an old romance with Bruce Wayne. At the same time, Batman is mistaken for a masked vigilante assassin who has begun systematically eliminating Gotham's crime bosses. Now on the run, Batman must solve the mystery while navigating his relationship with Andrea." Let's get back to the show. I mean, I would ask what her history is with Batman the Animated Series, but I feel like we could talk for an hour, right?
Yeah, we probably should do that.
It's a lifetime.
Did you watch Batman the Animated Series when it was on afternoons?
Weekdays? Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. It was a gift when that was on. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, what's this? You know, I have no concept of time as a child. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't know, you know, when this show would be on. I'm just turning the TV on, and there he is. Mm. Yeah, those were great moments.
Yeah. Bruce Timm's. Bruce Timm, probably big impact for you, I'm guessing, Danny.
100%. I feel like so many times, even in making any sort of art, I've probably just looked him up. What did he do coloring this or drawing that? Or big deal. Love Bruce. Bruce has some great Rocketeer art too.
Oh.
Google it.
Google it. I might have to bleep that noise out. That was...
That was sexual.
The you know, I read online that they're doing a new animated series for HBO. Batman Cape Crusader.
Oh, yeah.
And Bruce Timm is show running it along with Ed Brubaker, who did the Winter Soldier comic book. So they got pretty good team. They're leaning into the noir. I think it might all be in black and white. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Danny's head is down in this one talking right now.
Sorry, I'm looking at my Rocketeer by Bruce Timm stuff.
So, Batman Mask of the Phantasm, we're jumping right into our feature presentation. This is a bonus episode, so it'll be a shorter episode than normal. And we've been doing our, you know, top three notes, top three things that we jot down on these viewings. Proto, do you want to kick this one off?
Kick it.
I guess I have to, right?
What's your number one thing for Mask of the Phantasm that you wrote down?
Number one thing. My notes were pretty loose on this. Let's see.
Theatrical presentation. This was in theaters when it dropped.
My first note is Bruce punching the guy off the bike. That was a great fight scene.
That slow-mo motorcycle fight scene? Yeah. So good.
Which is like way into the movie.
Yeah.
That was like, I don't know, like, is it like a half hour or something? It's pretty far, I feel like.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, that was like my first note. I just like, I guess I was just like taking it in. You know, seeing this, I've never seen this before.
Never seen this before.
Yeah, I've never seen this before. So, like, seeing this for the first time in just purely like animated series form is such like a blast to the past that I've never had before.
Yeah, that felt like an Akira-esque animated like action scene. It reminded me of Akira with like the slow motion. Mm. But I guess to backtrack, like, before Batman Begins had come out, you know, if you were like a comic nerd, this was the best Batman movie because there were no Nolan movies to hold to the top. So like if you were like a Batman comic, you're like, oh, Mask of the Phantasm is actually the best Batman movie. Because like this came out in theaters, which was so odd to begin with. Like the animated series was out and this just like popped into theaters in widescreen. You know, it was pretty wild to
Big
look back.
Big flop too.
93.
Big time flop. They had to like rush production. Mm-hmm. They made it in like 8 months or something insane.
Insane.
Cripes.
How many times have you seen this, Matt?
Countless times. Mm. This is maybe the first time I've watched it in a couple of years. But my first note for this viewing was, you know, the idea that there's a new villain, brand new IP in the Batman animated series universe. And it's Bruce Wayne's ex. And it's a woman.
So
like
wild.
That is crazy. Like it's like mind blowing to look back. And so cool. Like as a kid, I can't remember how I felt when it was revealed to be a girl. Like, you know, young me, like, oh, it's not a guy, it's a girl. But like it's just such an awesome gamble, you know, that it was her. And it's like crazy because this character pretty much went untouched for decades. Maybe like one or two times they used it in Batman.
Very little.
Like what was the future Batman one?
Beyond.
What was that? Batman Beyond? Yeah, I think she popped up in Batman Beyond once. Yeah, Danny, what'd you think of Phantasm when you saw it for the first time?
Oh, I don't remember the first time. And we watched it countless times on repeat in the comic book shop. But yeah, I mean, I think one of the biggest in my notes that sticks out is how vulnerable Bruce is in this film. Like, I don't think we see Batman or Bruce himself be, I don't know, this vulnerable, crying at the grave of his parents, begging them for, you know, to be released of his vengeance on Gotham as Batman.
Oh, yeah, that was harsh.
Please, I need it to be different now. I know I made a promise. But I didn't see this coming. I didn't count on being happy. Please, tell me that it's okay.
That's like, I don't think we've ever seen Bruce like that. And I really dug that in this film. I don't think I actually appreciated it until this viewing. I think I kind of glossed over it a bit. Like, yeah, whatever, that's cool. It's Batman. Mm-hmm. But now watching, I was like, oh, damn. Like, he was legit asking for his parents' like blessing to allow himself to love again, which was wild. And that whole scene's amazing. Where it's the lightning strikes and it lights up the Wayne tombstone and it's beautiful.
It kind of speaks to the whole thing. The whole thing is like amped up. Like there's blood.
Yeah.
And there's gangsters dying. Mm-hmm. Like how many people got killed in this movie off screen or otherwise? Like that never happened in the animated
series.
For
sure.
And then the Joker shows up too.
Oh. Yeah, out of nowhere.
And he's at the beginning. Yeah, you're like, what? He's in here too.
Yeah.
I was like, I had never seen anything about this. So, you know, other than the cover, really, I didn't even know he was in it.
Mm. So what did you think when the Joker like slowly started to creep in and became almost like the main villain, really?
Yeah, well, I think that is what's so cool about this is it rewrites his origin story while also like telling a new story. So it's almost like you're introducing this villain at the, you know, the present of Batman, but then you're saying, hey, actually this is his first his first girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Like so to create like this new history in here and tell a story like this, the way they could use like his whole life. And it felt almost like you were seeing a period of I don't know, like that those flashback scenes felt like a different kind of Bruce Wayne than like any other story I can think of.
Yeah, he was like cocky and annoying, kind of, those flashbacks. Mm. Like when he was beating up those thugs with his ski mask. Yes. Kind of wanted him to get taken down a peg. What's number one on your list, Danny? Was it your note or was it something else?
My number one is always going to be Mark Hamill's Joker. It's so iconic. I don't think I've watched any Batman anime series in a long time. And when he comes on screen and his laugh.
I hate that song. Gasp! Can it be old Sally the Weezer Velestra? Welcome!
Welcome, Paizan. It's been a dog's age.
Hello, Joker. Didn't mean to drop by unannounced.
Oh, Salvatore. Why so formal? Mi casa nostra es su casa nostra. So, what's an old-timer like you want with a two-timer like me?
It's like, I can't get over how perfect it is and how ingrained... when I think of Joker or voice, I think of Marx before anything else. And I actually think of Batman, the animated series as a whole, and even this film and some after, as being even better than the Nolanverse or most of the Batman stuff we have now. I really do like this a lot more, I guess because it takes longer to flesh out stories and it's not forced into whatever movies. But I can't get over how good Joker is in this. I still love him. I love that they still use Jack Napier as his gangster name. And I love the introduction to Bruce and him seeing for the first time, but they're actually seeing each other as not their alter egos. They're seeing each other as Bruce Wayne and as Jack Napier, the gangster. Right. It's such a rad storyline. It's like they didn't even care where they were at in telling Batman stories. They're like, let's just tell this one-off story that Who knows where the timeline this is going to fall in. He doesn't talk about either Tim Drake or Dick Grayson. No Robins are mentioned or any of that stuff. And I just really dug that.
I loved where he had the photo of young Joker gangster.
Yeah.
And he draws the red lips. And he's like, the big reveal that he's like, I don't know who this is, but if I had red lips, that's the Joker.
There he is.
He had a couple good, funny reveal moments when he was confronting Phantasm towards the end of the movie, and he says to her, he's like, what will vengeance solve?
What will vengeance solve?
If anyone knows the answer to that, Bruce, it's you.
And then she's like, well, you should know more than anyone. And he makes that like another shock face. He's like, you idiot, Batman. Why would you even say that?
I know.
Wake up, my friend. Perdo, what's your second one?
Yeah, there are so many like scenes that I loved. Another scene that I loved was I love when he puts the mask on for the first time and it just seems like a piece of cloth and he just drapes it over his head and he turns around and when Alfred sees him for the first time, he's like,
oh my God.
He's like actually petrified. Scared.
My God.
Yeah. The animation in that scene is insane.
Bonkers. Yeah.
That's like Disney Renaissance animation moment right there. That's the Batman Renaissance.
Yeah, for sure. I love that. I have that scene written down too. That scene's so good.
Yeah. That's one of my honorable mentions, 100%.
Mm.
My next note that I wrote down in my top three kind of talks about like how everything is amped up, but like, you know, Bruce Wayne and Andrea, it's Andrea, right?
Andrea.
Bruce and Andrea just kissing on screen.
Yeah.
You know, like that, this doesn't happen in the animated series. So while I'm sitting in theater as a kid, like, it's almost like I'm watching a porno. Like, those two kissing and making out. And even, like, they're, like, going at it pretty hardcore when he's doing, like, the kung fu jujitsu.
Oh,
and then later on, it's inferred that they had sex.
Totally.
They see each other, and then it's, like, the next morning, they're waking up in, like, PJs. And I'm like, whoa! Like, this is like an R-rated. It's like a hard PG-13. But
you're looking left and you're looking right. Like, I'm
not watching the same thing. Guys. As I say to nobody, because I probably saw this alone in the theater. But yeah, looking back, it's just crazy how they stepped it up in those like minor terms, but pretty major looking back. Mm. Danny, number two.
I like how, I think at this time, there's so many fight sequences in this this movie that felt super amped up. At least, I don't know if it's not, I don't think choreography is the right word when it comes to animation, but there were some fight scenes that were legit, like, still had me like, damn, this looks amazing. Like, I couldn't get over the sequences, like, when he actually fights Phantasm for the first time and she's disappearing in the smoke. And there's just so many great little action sequences in this that I felt were a bit ahead of its time when it first came out.
Yeah, there were some cool designs. I watched a 15-minute making of featurette on YouTube, and it had like, they interviewed pretty much everybody, but it was so weird. They had like crazy camera angles. Like it was like Batman 66, like upside down angle with like green lighting behind their head. Like everything was amped up really oddly.
Mm, yeah.
But they showed Bruce Timm's like original rejected designs for Phantasm. They all looked pretty cool.
Or imagine rejecting anything Bruce did. They don't have jobs anymore.
They're long gone. Mm-hmm. They're long gone. The building scene where the cops are like almost going to kill him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was pretty cool. I think that was like a homage to Year One, pretty much. I guess pretty obviously Year One.
Yeah.
But what I didn't remember was that this story takes a lot from Year Two, which isn't as popular.
Right.
Where there's like a vigilante before Batman was around called the Reaper. It was like this older man, and the Reaper appears again after many years, and they're trying to figure out who it is. So I had no idea that this was connected to that comic book all those years ago.
Mm.
Yeah, it's Proto. Proto's number three.
Yeah, I had the action scenes. I just had a trigger-happy psycho cops. The amount of bullets that were fired at Batman in this. Insane.
Yeah. Very violent.
Another note I have, Joker whacking her with the baloney.
Right, yeah, he like could have grabbed a knife or the thing of bologna, I think, and he grabs the bologna and nails her with it.
It's like 18 inches long.
yeah, on the topic of Mark Hamill, I think it kind of gets forgotten with like the new Skywalker trilogy, but like he was pretty popular in comic book circles as a voiceover artist.
Yeah, 100%.
As a voice artist. Like he was pretty big.
I remember the first time I met Mark was... at one of the celebrations here in Orlando, and the way they had him set up, where if you waited in line to see him, you couldn't just see him from a crowd. He was roped off like curtains around him. You couldn't just see him until it was your turn to meet him. But every four or five minutes, you'd hear him do the Joker laugh, like blaring loud throughout the hall. And you're just like, the hair on the neck and your neck is just standing up because you're listening to Mark do it in person and he doesn't give a shit who hears and he's being so loud and it was just amazing to hear it come out of his mouth.
It's like a man whistle. You hear that? You're like, what is that? Dad?
I don't think we should say man whistle anymore.
We just got kicked off Spotify. Just got kicked off. My third note... is, you know, probably been talked to death, but the design of Gotham and the technology and how it's displayed in this series, in this universe, is it's timeless. Mm-hmm. It's perfect in like almost every way. Like they drive old cars, but he still has like bat supercomputers with like size 90 font on it. And like that's the OS that it's running. It's so gorgeous. Mm-hmm. You know, you like want to live in that world. You want to play with all that stuff. Like, let's get a Batman the Animated Series land, you know?
Oof, oh my gosh.
Stop.
Are you getting the Batcave? How come that hasn't happened yet? Why can't we go into the Batcave? You know?
Oh, yeah. That's a great idea. Those old cars, too. Man, yeah. I love everything about the time period. This made me actually appreciate the city design in Batman and Robin a little bit more. Mm. Like, it felt like an homage to this, like the look of that.
Okay.
Speaking of which, do you feel like this will be made into a live action movie at some point?
Ooh,
God, I'd love that.
I know, I kind of would too. In some ways, I want to be like, come on, like leave it alone. But the story's
great.
Like hearing it again, yeah, it would be fantastic. If even it was this, you know, the same exact thing, frame by frame.
I mean, can you imagine like Matt Reeves announcing like a teaser poster for the second Batman? It just says like Phantasm. Yes, it's just the mask.
It's just the mask.
Oh my God. That would be legit.
Gosh.
Your last note, Danny, for Mask of the
My
Phantasm.
Last note. Oh, Joker's, the juxtaposition of Joker's hideout, the old, like, it was like the, where
World's
Bruce,
Fair,
right, where Bruce took Andrea to the World's Fair to like the future Gotham, and then it's just destroyed and it's Joker's hideout now. I don't know why I love that, but there's like this crazy juxtaposition of it when he just comes in with the roller coaster car and it's I don't know. I just love it so much. I love the Joker. The Joker is legitimately my favorite comic book character. So I get very hype when he's ever around. So anytime he's on screen in this, I'm just excited.
Remember him in Zack Snyder's Justice League? The end of that?
We were robbed of further movies. God. Remember the epilogue, the 30-minute epilogue? Justice League.
He made me like
I'm
Leto
just
Joker.
On the car there.
My gosh.
Haven't when he's on the jetpack with Batman, and Batman is like just committed to just dying with him.
Oh my God.
Joker is like crap in his pants. Like,
what are you doing?
You're crazy. I'm your only chance to get out of here. Let me go or we'll both die. Whatever it takes.
You know what I will say before we... Actually isn't my favorite of the animated movies.
Is it Mr. Freeze one?
Not the Freeze one. I'm a massive fan of Under the Red Hood. That one is actually my favorite. And then the Batman Beyond Return of the Joker is incredible too.
Oh, well, the Red Hood one, technically.
It's not an animated series.
Right. It's not this universe.
But whenever I put on a Bat animated movie, it would always be Under the Red Hood.
Under the Red Hood, I think, was like one of their earlier ones, right? Where they started to try to do
dark,
like
too. I mean, they're telling Todd's
like PG-13 R-rated animated movies.
Yeah.
Todd.
Prada, what's honorable mentions and your final thoughts on Mask of the Phantasm?
Honorable mention. I love the chorus of voices in the theme song for this.
Mm-hmm.
That just like raised it a nice little level.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It was fantastic. Man, talking about this, I like it a lot more. I feel like I had to like sit on this movie. Like, I don't think I absorbed the story, but like hearing your guys' thoughts, man, I feel like it is really great. But I was like resting at 3 stars.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I'm at. But like, okay. I feel like if I watch it more, I'll like it more.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to look up the music. I think it's Shirley. Yeah. Shirley Walker did the music for this. And I just, yeah, I love the score of this. She did Escape from LA as well.
Oh,
Final Destination.
That choir starts singing.
So
game
good.
Over, man. In. Game over.
Killer.
My, let's see, honorable mention, there's a shot of Phantasm climbing the ladder to the roof as like something is exploding behind her. It looks so cool. It's just that kind of movement in animation I just don't remember seeing. And I think I remember seeing it a lot in the trailer too. That one guy has the laughing gas in the hospital.
Oh,
yeah.
And then he's like scared, but he's laughing and he's like, yeah. Oh no.
It's animated so well too.
Yeah, that is an amazing scene. God.
Yeah. I think I'm a 4 stars. I might have been 3.5 on Letterboxd, my most recent viewing, but I still had a great time. I love the ending, the mystery ending with Phantasm and Joker. So I'm at 4 stars for Phantasm.
Yeah, I'm with you too. I'm 4 stars on this. I think I really enjoy how they've just decided to make this movie almost a complete standalone outside of what we know of Batman and his storyline. It feels like a what if kind of episode movie. So, 4 stars. I really dug this film. I love the design of Phantasm a lot. And it's a good time.
We're ready for a big journey. The road to the Batman, starting with the Christopher Nolan trilogy. Batman Begins. We'll kick things off in a few weeks. Do you remember the world's finest two-parter from the Batman Superman?
Stop.
Like Adventure Hour, whatever kind of goofy name they had. But that one is, that's
World's
probably
Finest
on YouTube.
Is insane.
You got to track that one down if you're listening right now and haven't seen that. Also, I loved the one they did like the Tim Verse 2.0 and, you know, Batman's costume was like black and gray, you know, and everyone's design changed a little bit. I like that stuff too. It was cool.
If you go to the IMDb page for this and you look at the photos, there's 330 photos and it like, it's just kind of like frame by frame of the whole movie. It's so cool.
I respect that.
Prado, any final thoughts on this special bonus shorter episode as we prepare for your episode next week, which you haven't announced to us as a recording? That's the next episode.
I haven't.
No.
Should I put it now? Because at that point it will be in the past.
No, I don't know.
Okay.
So that's
I'll send you a check the IG page.
Check the IG page. So we'll see everybody next week for that episode and then get prepped for Batman Begins in a few short weeks.
70mm is a tape deck production featuring original artwork provided by Danny Haas. Spiritual Guidance and V'ger, the robot who loves movies, provided by Pertalexis. Producer at large, Dale_A. Transcripts provided by Sophie Shin and music composed by Cinematric. Prints and other merch are available on 70mmpod.com. This episode was mixed, edited, and produced by me, Slim. Support our Patreon for access to our VHS Village Discord to talk movies with new friends, access to our exclusive episodes in the 70mm vault, discounts on merch, uncut episodes, and a physical membership card mailed to you. To check out other Tape Deck podcasts, find the link in the episode notes. And if you'd like to support our friends at Letterboxd and upgrade to pro or patron status, you can do so with a 20% off discount using the links on 70mmpod.com. Goodbye.
This is a Tape Deck podcast.